Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
It's 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on Sunday, the 29th of November, and this is program 34 of the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, Lisa Wolf, looking beautiful. How's that? It's easy. Just you're looking beautiful, Lisa.
Thank you, Carl. You're looking quite dapper yourself.
Oh, thank you. The man in black. I'm like Paladin. Yes. The Paladin from Have Gun Will Travel. I'm all in black. Mike Costella is here. He is our executive producer. And Dan Long, the best in the business in there, our producer. And in the studio, Dan Chaffee, who is the CEO of Cats Pride Kitty Litter and also Oil Dry. And we're going to bring him out to give away a year's supply of Cats Pride Kitty Litter to a lucky winner. And that's just in a few minutes. But first, our segment.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cats Pride. Meow!
This actor stars in The Big Short, a biographical film about the financial crisis by the buildup of the housing and credit bubble.
All right. Now, okay. The celebrity that Lisa's talking about starred in a 2000 drama called American Psycho. Take a listen.
Look at that subtle off-white coloring. The tasteful thickness of it. Oh, my God. It even has a watermark.
All right. If you can name that celebrity on Celebrity Scoop, call us at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You'll win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza. Call right now. Phone lines are open. We'll be back after this.
This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we are playing Name That Celebrity. Let's hear that movie clip again.
Look at that subtle off-white coloring. The tasteful thickness of it. Oh, my God. It even has a watermark.
And we've got Pat on the line from Darien. Hey, Pat.
Hey.
Hey, can you name that celebrity? Yeah, go ahead.
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale is right. He is in The Big Short, and he's also an American Psycho. So, Pat, you are a winner. You have won a $25 gift card for one of my very favorite pizzas, Lou Malnati's, and you can check them out at loumalnati's.com, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you
You're
so
welcome.
Much for calling in.
Thanks, Pat. All right, so Celebrity Scoop is brought to our listeners by Cats Pride Kitty Litter, and we have the CEO of Cats Pride, also its parent company, Oil Dry, in with us here, Dan Jaffe. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Fine, Carl. How are you?
Excellent.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, we're glad to have you with us. We've been waiting all month for this.
Oh, it goes by so fast. We love giving away free cat litter.
Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to give away a year's supply. We'll do that in just a few seconds. Let's talk a little bit first about Cat's Pride Kitty Litter and why its brand Fresh and Light is so different from any other kitty litter.
Yeah, you know, we are very passionate about cat litter. This is what we do. It's, as they mentioned in the intro, it's a family-owned business. It's been around since 1941 that my grandfather started. And when we invented lightweight cat litter, we challenged our scientists to do something revolutionary. We said we want it to perform as well or better than anything that's out there. So it has to clump strong. It has to have no dust, no tracking, great absorbency, great odor control, and not or. And it has to be lightweight. And so that's what we did, Cat's Pride Fresh and Light. And it has absolutely taken the market by storm. 2 years later, then, our competitors jumped in to come up with their lightweight offerings. And it never occurred to us that what they would do was just take their heavy litter, take a third or half of it out, and just put in a non-performing mineral that just makes the scale lighter. It's just a lightweight
like,
stuff.
Like a wood or
yeah,
something.
Wood
like
chips,
that. Yeah,
wood chips, perlite, all these things that are not a cat litter. They don't absorb. They don't control odors. They don't clump. They are dusty. So you're basically, it's just a filler. It's like taking half the meat out and putting in filler
right.
and then calling it a lightweight
right.
item. It's just sort of crazy.
Right.
And so we are really, we're very passionate about this, and we are constantly communicating and are going to be really re-upping our communication to our consumer base so that they understand what's going on. And it's all similar to, you know, what's in your wallet. It's what's in your litter box.
Right.
And people need to know.
So just to make it clear, you have no fillers.
We have no
pride.
Fillers. We use 100% absorbent minerals, and they are naturally lightweight. Their mother nature made them lighter than what was currently on the market, the heavy stuff. And so, yes, we use 100% no filler, all absorbent mineral.
All right. Fresh and light. That's
yeah,
what
and
people
will
should
you
be
just
buying.
Tell us really quickly where we can find Cat's Pride?
You can really find it everywhere at all fine retailers. We're at Walmart, Jewel, Meijer, you know, depending on where you shop, Piggly Wiggly, Roundies. I know, you know, we're being heard in Wisconsin. We're being heard, I'm sure, in Schnucks and Spartan. I mean, really all over the Midwest, really all over the United States, Safeway, Albertsons, Publix, Winn-Dixie, you name it, we're there. And it's Cat's Pride, and there's both Cat's Pride Scoopable, then there's Cat's Pride Fresh and Light, which is in the green jugs, and then Ultimate Care, which is actually going to be moving to a green jug. It's currently in sort of a translucent jug, but we're going to have the whole family around the green so that you can quickly identify
yeah.
our lightweight litters.
So if you already use Cat's Pride, we thank you. And if you don't use Cat's Pride, you should switch because you're going to be much happier and your cat's going to be happier as well.
Absolutely.
All right, it is time to give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. And here's how we do this. We ask our listeners to take a picture of their cat, of them and their cat, and email it in to us along with their name and their city and state to catspridephoto@gmail.com. And we had tons and tons of people sending it in this last month. And we're doing this every month. Dan comes in here the last Sunday of every month, and he gives away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. And we're going to do this right now. We have all of the names are in a hat. It's actually a black bag.
Well, not quite a hat, but
yeah.
a black bag.
All
a
right.
headphone
and,
bag, actually.
And Dan's going to do it right now. And okay. he's gonna pick a name.
I'm unzipping this.
Do we have the drum roll or no?
All the names are in here. Go ahead, Dan. Stick your hand in here.
We got
here
we
go.
A
name.
Drum roll.
All righty.
All right, I got one. And it is Leanne Frobel, and her cat Linus from Wausau, Wisconsin, is our winner.
All right, read it one
month.
More time. One more time.
Leanne Frobel and her cat Linus from Wausau, Wisconsin.
All right, she is the big winner this November. Now, don't forget, next month, right around this time, Dan will be in here again and give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. So get your picture in. Once again, send your picture of you and your cat, name, and an address, well, actually city and state, and email it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. And all of the pictures are posted on our Facebook page. Right?
Right. You can enter once every month. So
yeah.
you will, if you send
Even
it in.
Even if you just entered last month and didn't
do
win,
it again.
Do it again.
Yes.
Dan Jaffe, thank you so much, my friend.
Well, Carl, Lisa, thank you. We love our affiliation with the WGN Radio Theater, and especially because we got the ratings. And
oh, yeah.
It's
ratings have been through the roof, and we're so excited about it. Thanks to
yeah,
all our listeners.
Yeah, we love having you here in the studio
really
anytime,
do.
Dan.
Excellent.
So, listeners, whether you buy Cat's Pride or not, we hope to convert you, but thank you very much because this has been a great success.
Way to go, Dan. Thank you so much. All right. It is time for our first classic radio show, The Green Hornet. We were talking about green bottles and what do you call it?
The jugs. And Dan's
jugs.
Wearing his green Fresh and Light
right.
shirt today, too, for everybody you know watching.
We have the Green Hornet to start things off. December 13th, 1945. This episode is called Paid in Full. It stars Robert Hall as Britt Reed. Let's tune this in. Part one of The Green Hornet.
A Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game. Public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful valet Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed in the thrilling adventure, Paid in Full. The Green Hornet strikes again.
A young lady entered the office of the Instant Loan Company and approached the cashier's desk.
You want to make a payment, miss?
No, I... That is, I'd like to speak to the manager, please.
Oh, sure. Oh, that's him over there, Mr. Sedgwick.
Thank you. Mr. Sedgwick?
Yes, I'm Mr. Sedgwick. What can I do for you?
I wanted to talk to you about a payment that's due today. You see,
Come into my office. We can talk there.
All right.
Sit down, Miss...
Wellston. Alice Wellston.
Yes. Yes, of course. I believe I remember you. Do sit down.
Thank you.
Now, what is it you want to see me about?
It's about a payment on a loan. It's due today. I have only two more to make, including this one.
I see. Well, it isn't necessary to see me about it. Just go to the cashier's desk.
That's just it, Mr. Sedgwick. You see, I can't pay it today.
That's not so good. Just a minute.
Yes, Mr. Sedgwick?
Bring me the contract signed by Miss Alice Wellston right away.
Yes, sir.
Of course, Miss Wellston, we make our loans in good faith, and we expect our clients to...
Oh, I intend to pay it. All I want is a few days' grace.
I see. And when could you make the payment?
This is Wednesday. I can bring it in Saturday morning without fail.
Here's the contract, Mr. Sedgwick.
Thanks. Let's see now. You borrowed $200, putting your car up as collateral.
That's right. I've made all the payments, including the interest, except two. I'll have the entire loan paid off by next month.
It's a little unusual for us to extend the due date, Miss Wellston. But in your case, I think we can make an exception. We'll expect your payment on Saturday.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Sedgwick. You can count on it. I appreciate your kindness.
Not at all, Miss Wellston. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I'll be in Saturday.
Mm-hmm. What's cooking, boss?
Joe, is Lenny back there with you?
Yeah, he's right here.
Good. Now listen, there's a girl just leaving. You and Lenny Taylor, and the minute she leaves her car, snatch it. Take it over to the used car lot for a quick sale.
I get it.
You'll have to move fast before she drives away.
We'll get right after her, boss.
Won't Miss Wellston be surprised?
Hey, Joe, we've had several chances to snatch a car. What are we waiting for?
Stop yapping, Lenny. We gotta wait till after 5 o'clock when the office is closed before we snatch it. So as to make it legal.
Oh. Well, look. She's making another stop. It's after 5 now.
Yeah, we'll grab it this time. As soon as she goes into that store there. Pull in behind her car.
Right.
I have a duplicate key to a car. Sedgwick made her leave it when she borrowed on it. I'll drive it. You can follow the tow car.
Okay. Tow car will make people think we're from a garage.
Wait a minute there. What are you getting in my car for?
Look, sister, we got orders to bring in this car, see? I'm from the loan company. So you better not set up a squawk.
But there must be some mistake.
No mistake, see?
You can't take my car. I'll call a policeman and...
You know what's good for you. You'll keep your mouth shut, see?
A gun.
Sure, and it works, too. Take my advice and stay away from the cops. Okay, Lenny, follow me in that tow car.
Sure, you get going. I'll be right behind you.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me phone Mr. Sedgwick. I'm sure he'll...
Sedgwick told us to get this jalopy, sister, and I'm getting it right now.
No, don't. Wait. Come back. Oh.
Say no, miss. Is there anything the matter?
My car. No. No, it's all right, thank you.
Well, what about your car? Did somebody steal it or something? Maybe we better call a cop and tell him...
No! Please, I'd rather you forget the whole matter. I thank you just the same.
Huh. Now, what do you know about that? I could have sworn there was something funny going on here.
A short time later, Axford was telling Britt Reed, young publisher of the Daily Sentinel, about the incident.
And a tow car pulled right out behind the car the guy drove away in. The poor girl seemed scared to death, Reed.
And she wouldn't have anything to say about it, eh?
That's right. You know, I could have swore as I started toward him that I saw a gun in the guy's hand. Then he got in and drove off. Hmm.
Sounds to me like another one of those jip loan companies snatching a car for non-payment. Come on with me.
Sure. Where are you going?
To the city room. Well, Miss Case, I'm going down to talk to Gunnigan.
All right, Mr. Reed.
Do you have that list of loan companies? The one I asked you to make up the other day.
Yes, sir. I have it right here. Here it is.
Oh, thanks. I'll take it along.
If I get any calls, Casey, put them through to the city room.
Okay, Chief.
Think you're funny, don't you?
What do you think?
Boy, that's what.
Come on, Axford.
That Casey thinks she's smart. I'll tell her to take us for one of these days. She's not going to do that.
Hello, Chief. Hi, Axford.
Hi, Gunnigan. Do you have a minute?
Sure, what's up?
I spoke to you last week about starting a campaign against jip loan companies. Remember?
Yeah. How do you want to begin?
Well, I have a list of more or less questionable companies. I suggest you assign a couple of men to go to those places and try to get small loans.
How will that prove anything, Reed?
Well, all of them will want to know your business connection. Those that are not on the level will probably refuse the loan when they find out you're from a newspaper. That'll be just a beginning of the weeding out process.
Well, put Axford and Lowry on it, Chief.
The trouble is, Reed, the people who are gypped are always afraid to put up a squawk.
I realize that, Axford. In our editorials, we'll stress the importance of any victim of a loan shark going to the police. With a few witnesses, it'll be easy to move against them.
You can start out in the morning, Axford.
If I get to borrow any dough, what do I do with it?
You won't get that far. If any of them tell you they'll make a loan, you can tell them you'll be back. Then call back and say you've changed your mind.
Sure. All we're interested in are the ones that refuse to consider making a loan to a newspaper man. So try to act like you really are a reporter.
In all the years you've been here, you still don't act like
Skip
you're a
it,
city...
Gunnigan, let me know what the boys find out. Meantime, I'll write an editorial. If we can open up a way to get at those crooked loan sharks, we'll really be doing a public service.
Do you wish to make a payment, or did you come to arrange a loan?
I want to see about getting a small loan.
Oh, very well. Just step into that small office over there and make yourself comfortable. Mr. Sedgwick is busy with another client, but he'll soon be finished.
Okay, thanks. Laid out just like the others.
Here's the contract you signed, Mr. Stacy. You just read it over.
I don't give a hang about that contract. I borrowed $100. You took out $6 when you gave me the loan. Said it was interest. And since then, I've made four $26 payments. Now you say I owe one more payment.
The interest is 6%, figured by the month, Mr. Stacy. You see, you still
owe... I've more than repaid that loan. I'm not paying another cent, do you hear?
Why, then, forget it, Mr. Stacy. Of course, it's unusual. But in your case, we'll just consider your loan as... paid in full as of now.
Darn right it's paid in full. Moreover, I think this is a jip company. One of those loan rackets I've heard about.
Hold on, Mr. Stacy.
I'm going straight from here to police headquarters to report this place as a racket.
Just a minute. If you
make your excuses to the police. So long, crook.
I ain't waiting here any longer.
Well, just a minute. Mr. Sedgwick can see you now.
No, thanks. I've changed my mind. So long.
Huh. That's a funny one.
Get your own money for me. I have a job for them to do.
Okay, boss. Right away.
All right. That's the first portion of The Green Hornet here on the WGN Radio Theater. Paid in full, December 13th, 1945, starring Robert Hall. Lisa, when this show made the transition to television in the 1950s, or actually, I think it was the 1960s, the actor Van Williams played Britt Reed. Do you know who played Cato on the television show? Do you know Mike? I mean, Mike probably knows, but hang on, let's see if Lisa knows. Played Cato on the TV show. Do you know? No?
You're going to have to help me.
All right, Mike.
Bruce Lee?
Bruce Lee. Absolutely Damn. Right. Ding, 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 ding. Great job. All right, let's take a break. Then we'll be back here with more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. This is program 34, Lisa. 34 weeks we've been on the air here.
It doesn't seem, I can't really recount 34 weeks somehow.
That's a lot of time.
No,
it's a lot of drives down here from Barrington.
That's true.
I'd get in my car and drive down here. It's like an hour plus.
It is.
But it is
worth it.
Every
there you go.
Second, because I'm so excited driving down here to get to be on the air
with
on this legendary station. And to be co-hosting the show with you,
Lisa Wolf, right? That's right.
The loquacious Lisa Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Very loquacious.
Well, you know, if I wasn't chatty, I wouldn't
be
the
here.
Radio wouldn't be the best place for me.
Right. You are chatty. You're chatty Lisa.
Well, I picked that up from you, Carl.
I'm sure the listeners out there are going, yeah, right. Who's chatty?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Who's the chatty one here?
Oh, my gosh. Mike Gastella. We missed you on Thanksgiving. Lisa and I were here on Thanksgiving, and he was home eating food.
Right.
I mean, come on.
I mean, we ate, and then we came here and ate some more.
I had a few big meals. I was at with Denise at her parents' house, had lunch over there, and then we were at my parents' house for dinner. And,
yeah, you look like you gained a couple.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
So. I mean, you know what they say about the tryptophan in the turkey? It really is a thing. I mean, I had turkey and I went right to bed.
You went to sleep after dinner before you came here?
Yeah, I took a nap. And then the other day I was by my brother's house and he had some leftover turkey. And I had it by the time I got home. I was like falling asleep driving
you
home.
Know, either it's that or you're just, you know, getting
just
a little old.
Just old. I'm getting old. Yeah.
You need a little,
no, it's definitely
no,
the turkey.
It works.
I'm going to go with
I had a little bit of leftover turkey for dinner today. I took a nap.
I took
three naps on Thursday. So, yeah, it's definitely a thing.
No, it really is. It's the real thing. Okay, so we have a website for this radio show where you can see what we're playing every week. It's WGNRadioTheater.com, WGNRadioTheater.com. We also have a Facebook and a Twitter, right, Mike?
We do have a Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater, and our Twitter page, at WGN Radio Theater.
All right. So make sure you check all of that out. Please like us when you go to our Facebook page. Would you do that for us? Would you go to the Facebook page and search for us and like us? Because we want to build our likes, right?
Yeah, and we post a lot there, so you can keep up with what's going on each week.
Yeah.
And check out the pictures of Carl and Mike and Mike and Carl.
Right. And the other thing, too, at our Facebook page, you can request a show. So if you want to hear The Shadow or Jack Benny or Boston Blackie or Suspense, just go there and say, hey, I'd like to hear this show or that show or whatever. And then we put it on the air.
Yeah, we do our best.
And one of the coolest things that's on there that I really like, actually, are all the pictures of the actors from these shows. Because it's, for me, I haven't seen a lot of these pictures.
Yeah.
So it's really
cool because, you know, you're the theater of the mind. You know, when you hear, let's say, we're listening to the Green Hornet, right? So there's a guy, Robert Hall, playing Britt Reed, the Green Hornet, you know, multimillionaire publisher of the Daily Sentinel newspaper. And you see him in your mind. I see Van Williams because I remember the TV show. But you see this guy in your mind. But when you go to our page, there's a picture. Well, I think there was a picture. I sent a picture.
Yeah. There is a picture out there.
Of
right.
Robert Hall. Okay, so you see what the real guy looked like, what you're saying. It's kind of fun to see these people, right?
It's kind of like, you know, it's the same thing on the radio. I always picture who I hear
you
based on a voice.
You picture me being 6'4", right?
And I
strapping.
And then, you know, you get the real thing. So
right.
It's always a little bit
I know. I sound about 6'4", 6'5", right?
You do. You do.
And kind of chiseled.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
Very chiseled and very muscular.
Well, you are describing
driving
yourself.
Driving Audi R8.
Yeah, that's what I...
Right?
Yes.
And women all around the car, you know?
Again, theater of the mind.
Does that sound,
go with that.
How does that sound, Dan? You like that? Is that about right? Is that what I...
Yeah, you paint a very realistic and vivid picture.
And then I have a cathedral radio with these classic radio shows playing out of the Audi R8. How's that sound?
That
good?
Sounds good. You I go would. With that.
All right. Sounds good. Let's get back to this now. Going back to December 13th, 1945, Paid in Full, starring Robert Hall in The Green Hornet.
Here comes Axford now, Chief.
Oh, well, Axford, how did you make out this morning? Any luck?
Reed, I think I got something. That I have.
How many places you been to?
Three so far.
Lowry covered six of those places this morning.
So what? I didn't go busting in and out just to say I went into a lot of loan companies, Gunnigan. When I take on an assignment, I do a tour. In case you'd like to know.
Lowry didn't have much luck. That is, the places he visited seem to be on the up and up. When is it to turn up, Axford?
Well, Reed, two of them places took me name and all that sort of thing, and then said they'd let me know if I could have a loan after they checked the information I gave them.
Well, that's the proper procedure, all right.
Sure. But in the last place I went, the Instant Loan Company, I went into a little booth-like place to wait. While I was in there, I heard a guy named Stacy talking to the manager, Mr. Sedgwick, about his payments.
That's going to make a fine headline. Reporter hears man talk about loan payments. Gets inside story of life of guy named Stacy. Oh.
They're now gunning for two pins, I tell you.
Forget it, Axford. What was it you overheard that you think is important?
That chap, Stacy, that is, was sore as a boil. Said he borrowed $100. They took out $6 when he got the dough. That was for interest, they said.
What's wrong about that?
Wait a minute, will you? Then Stacy said he paid back 4 payments of $26 each, and they still wanted one more payment. He said he wasn't going to pay it and was going to report the deal to the cops. The manager told him to forget the $26, but he said he'd go to the cops anyway, and slammed on out, mad as a hatter.
Then what?
I got up and left. I went down to cops headquarters, but they didn't get a complaint from Stacy. Neither did the DA's office. Guess he got cold feet.
Yeah, that's the trouble. People don't realize that in a case like that, they should report it. If we could get in touch with that man, Stacy, maybe we could get him to give us...
Set it, ask. Oh, it's you, Larry. What's up? What's that? When? Who was it? Okay, get all the details and call him in. Goodbye.
What's happened, Gooding?
Larry says a guy by the name of Jim Stacy was... Holy mackerel! Stacy was the name of the man you told us about, Axford.
What happened to him?
He was found shot to death out on River Road a short time ago.
After hearing of Stacy's murder, Axford went to police headquarters. Later that afternoon, he returned to the Sentinel building and entered Britt Reed's office.
Hi, Reed. Hi, Casey.
I've been waiting for you, Axford.
Shall I start on these letters while you talk to Axford, Mr. Reed?
Oh, you can wait a few minutes, Miss Case. Any news, Axford?
Reed, I told Sarge about what I heard at that loan place this morning.
Did they find out whether the murdered man was the same Stacy whom you heard talking?
Sure, 'twas him, all right. Sarge sent a man to the loan company to check. The manager admitted Stacy, Jim Stacy, had been there this morning.
Well, that doesn't implicate him in the murder in any way. He's safe in admitting that.
Remember what Axford told you? I should think the police would question that loan company manager about the argument Stacy had with him.
They did question him about that. But what do you think, Reed?
Well?
That spalpeen of a manager told him that he and Stacy didn't have an argument at all. And he said Stacy's loan had been fully paid up and showed a paper to prove it.
Well, then maybe you just thought you heard an argument.
Is that so now? When I say I heard them arguing is the truth, and anyone
I
who says that
I... There's no doubt that the loan manager lied.
Sure he did. And to my way of thinking, that shows he's got something to hide. Maybe murder.
You can't accuse a man of murder without proof.
That's right, Miss Case. But whether he had any connection with the murder of Stacy or not, the fact that he lied does prove he's got something to cover up in connection with his loan business.
Sure. But without complaining witnesses, the cops can't just walk in and tell him he's running a gyp joint.
Yeah, I know. Well, perhaps something will turn up that will tip their hand sooner or later. We'll just have to hope.
Well, I'm going back to headquarters. If I get anything new on the murder, I'll phone in. So long.
That evening, Brick Reed left his office and went to his apartment where Cato, his faithful Filipino valet, and the only person knowing his identity as the Green Hornet, was waiting.
You have something on mind, perhaps, Mr. Britt?
Yes, Cato. That Stacy murder that's just been headlined in the papers. Axford feels sure the outcome of an argument Stacy had with the manager of the Instant Loan Company.
Why did he not tell police of suspicions?
He did, and they investigated, but found nothing in the way of proof. In fact, they only have Axford's word for it that Stacy had an argument at the loan office about his payments and then threatened to go to the police.
What do you think?
I believe Axford, Cato. I'd like to have a look at the loan contracts they closed out yesterday and today at that loan place.
Well, loan company closed for the night now.
I know.
It's good time for Green Hornet, perhaps, to have look into office.
Right. And that's exactly what the Green Hornet's going to do, with your help. Come on.
Stepping through a secret panel in the rear of a closet in his bedroom, Britt Reed and Cato went along a narrow passageway built within the walls of the apartment itself. This passage led to an adjoining building, which fronted on a dark side street. Though supposedly abandoned, this building served as the hiding place for the sleek, super-powered Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet. Britt Reed pressed a button. The great car roared into life. A section of the wall in front raised automatically, then closed as the gleaming Black Beauty sped into the darkness.
right in back of Instant Loan Office. Well, this alley, good dark place to live Black Beauty.
Yes, and we won't be long. Let's go.
It would be difficult to get into that place.
No, they have the ground floor. And their place runs through to the back here. We can get in the back way.
Moving quickly and silently to the back door, the sinister figure of the Green Hornet and his faithful assistant soon effected an entrance into the Instant Loan Company offices by using a special skeleton key.
Come on, stay close behind me.
A few seconds later, Britt and Cato started the search through files and desk drawers. The search was thorough, but still Britt seemed unsatisfied. But finally, as he searched the manager's desk, his voice held a note of satisfaction as he called in a low tone to Cato.
Cato, I think I found what we've been looking for.
Well, that's good. Where do you find them?
Here, in the basket on Sedgwick's desk. See? This folder is labeled Closed Out Contracts.
Oh.
Here's a contract in the name of Jim Stacy, marked Paid in Full and dated today. Here's another. Let's see. This is in the name of Miss Alice Wellston. I wonder.
What do you think of?
This contract's marked Paid in Full. Car impounded and sold for non-payment. And it's dated yesterday.
What that mean to you?
Cato, Axford saw two men drive off with a car that belonged to a girl who seemed very upset. Also, Axford said he was sure they had threatened her with a gun. That was yesterday afternoon. According to this contract, her payment was due yesterday.
Well, that's not good.
No, it's illegal for them to pick up a car on the due date, and without a court order. We're going to call on Miss Alice Wellston and a couple of these others whose contracts are here. Maybe we can force them to go to the police and give evidence against this Jip company. Come on.
Can I do? Oh.
I came here to talk to you. I'll come in.
No. No, I... Why have you come here? You're the Green Hornet.
Right. And I came because I heard you were shooting your mouth off about your deal with our loan company.
So, you're in with the Instant Loan Company, too.
What do you think?
Why don't you let me alone? I told Mr. Sedgwick I'd pay my next payment within 3 days. Yet they took my card. Now you come here.
I came just to warn you. If you don't keep your mouth shut, you'll get what Stacy got.
Stacy? He's the man who was murdered. Then that loan company was responsible
just
for his...
Just remember what I say. Keep your mouth shut. If you don't, you'll end up like Stacy. So long.
Oh, this is terrible. I'll phone the police right now.
Later, Mr. Sedgwick, sitting at his desk in his study at home, was startled to find he had an unexpected visitor.
What the... How did you get in here?
Open windows are always an invitation to me, Sedgwick.
What do you want, Hornet?
I came to make a little proposition.
Such as?
I happen to know one of your clients, a Miss Wellston, has decided to go to the police about her dealings with your loan company. For a price, well, I'd be willing to see to it that she, disappears.
I can handle my own affairs without your help, Hornet. My lawyers will take care of any complaints that may arise against my company.
Quite a front you put on, Sedgwick.
Moreover, I don't deal in murder, so you're barking up the wrong tree. Get out.
You'll be sorry, Sedgwick. But since you're not in the mood, I'll leave. Now it's his move. I'll wait and see if he makes it. Better open the door a bit.
Hello, Joe. This is Grossley. Get Lenny and go over to that Wellston girl's place. Yes, that's right. She's been talking. You'll know what to do. Yes, go right away. Goodbye.
That's what I wanted to hear. Now I'll join Cato.
What do you think happened, Mr. Britt?
We'll park in the shadows near Miss Wellston's place and watch. I know she phoned the police, so by now they've sent a couple of men out there. Sedgwick's men will go there. And we'll be nearby to see that they don't get away.
What do you hope will happen?
The men he's sending to Miss Wellston's must be the same ones that killed Stacy. If the police get them, they'll grill them after what I said to Miss Wellston. One of those men will be bound to break down. Step on it, Gale.
Miss Wellston, when you phoned headquarters a while ago, you said the Hornet had been here. Is that right?
Yes, Sergeant Burke, he was.
Suffering snakes. Maybe he'll come back.
He said if I talked to the police, they'd give me the same thing they gave Stacy.
Holy smoke. Then he was in on the killing.
That he was, Sarge. I bet on it.
He mentioned the Instant Loan Company. I've already told you about that.
Sure. And a dirty deal it was, too. With you as a witness. What's the matter, Cassidy? What are you waving for?
Quiet, Sarge. Two men just come up on the porch. I can see him out this window.
Holy crow. Must be the Hornet coming back.
Quick. We'll hide behind that screen in the corner. You let him in, Miss Wellston. We'll grab him. Come on, Axford. Now, Axford, you and Cassidy don't make a move till I tell you. If they get suspicious, they won't come into the hall and we'll lose them. Good thing we left the squad car on the side street. Quiet now.
What do you want?
We got a few things to talk over with you, lady.
I guess you'd better come inside. Now, what do you want to talk about with me?
You tell her, Joe.
Yeah.
Listen, lady, we understand you were shooting off your mouth after we told you not to.
But why should you think that? After all, when you pointed that gun at me and took my car, I was too frightened to tell anyone.
She's lying, Joel. Horses got ways of finding out things.
Sure she's lying. Listen, sister, we ain't taking any chances, see? You're coming along with us.
You wouldn't do what was done to that Mr. Stacy, would you?
Hey, why do you mention that guy?
What's the difference, lady? What's the matter?
Shoot! Hey, after him, quick! Hey, you dimwit. Just when they were about to spill the beans.
Holy cross, Sarge. I had a sneeze.
Yeah, so they're getting away.
There they go. On the walk.
Shoot, Sarge.
Stop! Stop, I say! They're getting away.
Look, a squad car coming out of the side street right in front of the killers.
They smacked right into the squad car.
We got them now. Come out of that car with your hands up, both of you.
Don't shoot. Don't shoot. Joe's hurt.
You'll be hurt, too, if you try anything funny. Grab him, Cassidy.
I got him.
We'll take them both to headquarters. A little drilling will tell us all we want to know. That guy'll hang for Stacy's murder.
That he will.
No, I didn't do it. I'll tell you everything, but I didn't do it.
Take him away, Cassidy. Keep the squad car around. Don't look like it's much damaged, and we'll bring the other one.
All right, get him.
I'm telling you, officer, I had nothing to do with it.
Hey, Sarge. Who was driving that squad car? We were the only ones who came here in it.
Great day. I didn't think about that.
Listen, that's the Green Hornet making the getaway.
Say, he must have been the one who drove that squad car in front of the killer's car.
You mean to say he
delivered... What I mean is that the Hornet was probably making off with that squad car so as we couldn't follow his pals. But he didn't reckon on them smashing right into him.
Holy crow, that must have been it. And 'twas because of him we caught the other two. Sarge... I'll bet his face will be red this night. That it will. Wait till Reed hears about that.
Popular radio dramas created by George W. Trendle are a copyrighted feature of The Green Hornet, Incorporated. All characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious.
There you have it, The Green Hornet. Always after me lucky charms, Lisa. They're magically delicious. That was Gilbert Shea as the Irish cop there. And then Robert Hall is The Green Hornet in Paid in Full from December 13th, 1945. Hope you enjoyed The Green Hornet. We have some commercials that we have to get in, so let's do that right now. All right, we're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater, 12:07 on a Monday morning. Happy Monday morning, Lisa.
Thank you.
Mike and Dan, happy Monday morning.
Hi there.
And hello to all of our listeners. Thanks for tuning us in here each week from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. We start things off at 11 p.m. on Sundays, and we go to 2 a.m. Monday morning. 3 hours of classic radio shows, the great gems of the golden age of radio. All your favorites, The Lone Ranger and Jack Benny, Suspense, Boston Blackie, The Whistler, Inner Sanctum, Lights Out, and go on and on. And these are the shows that I've been collecting since I was a wee little Amari. Just a wee little Amari.
That's pretty small.
12 years of age. And actually, the person that I got hooked on old-time radio, I'm with him. He's in the studio. Vince Lombardi is in the studio. His father played a classic radio show for us because we were rowdy at his father's house. We were staying at his father's house. And we were 12 years old. Right, Vince?
Correct.
12 years old. And he put on a Suspense episode on a country road. And we were mesmerized, absolutely mesmerized. And I just had never heard classic radio before, Theater of the Mind. You know, grew up watching television. And I started collecting the shows and learning everything I could about him and licensing all these radio shows. And now we're here on WGN playing these shows.
See,
what do you think
guys,
of that?
You could bond over this right
now,
you guys.
Vince and I love these shows, and we put out these radio shows on CD and digital download that are available at our website. Just go to Hollywood360Radio.com. We do this as a partnership, and Mike Costella does all the engineering of them. We get the original master transcription discs. We put out collections every single month, these CD collections and digital collections, and they're all in our store. Just go to the WGN Radio Theater website or go to our main website, which is Hollywood360Radio.com. Just go to WGN Radio Theater and click through to the main website and go to our store, and you'll be able to check them all out.
And if you don't see what you currently like right now, we are continuing to add collections. I know that we're adding 2 a month, but coming January, we're going to be adding a few more a month. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're adding 5. We're going from 2 collections per month to 5 collections a month. We've actually started doing that because we're about 6 months in advance of the release. And so, we have tons and tons of classic radio shows at our website store. Just go to WGNRadioTheater.com, click through to the main site, and you'll see them. Good?
Great.
All right. So in this hour, we're going to tune into the Burns and Allen Show from 1948. In our third hour, from 1 o'clock till 2 o'clock in the morning, we're going to tune into Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. But right now, it's our sponsor segment.
Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor returns to the role of Rocky Balboa as a former world heavyweight champ, serving as a trainer and mentor in the upcoming movie Creed.
All right, take a listen. Here's a 1976 movie clip with that celebrity.
All right, listen, I'm going to go now, okay? Listen, I'll see you later, all right?
All right, if you know who that is, give us a call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You'll win a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's Pizza if you can call in, get through, and identify that celebrity. We'll find our winner after this break.
You are listening to the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Name That Celebrity, and let's hear that movie clip one more time.
All right, listen, I'm going to go now, okay? Listen, I'll see you later, all right?
And we have Susan on the line from Chicago. Hey, Susan.
Hi.
Hi, we're glad you're still awake and listening.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can you name that celebrity for us?
Yes, I can. It's Sylvester Stallone.
That is definitely Sylvester Stallone. And he's still Rocky Balboa. So he'll be in the movie Creed. And, of course, he's been Sylvester Stallone for how many years?
I don't know. Wow. 60s?
I don't know. Yeah, for quite a while. Anyhow, you are a winner, Susan. You have won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, a delicious pizza or pasta. So I hope you enjoy that, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Susan. All righty. Bye-bye. You got it. Thanks for tuning in. Okay, it is time for The Burns and Allen Show. Is a comedy duo started in vaudeville. Of course, we all know George Burns and Gracie Allen. And they appeared on Eddie Cantor's show. And then when Eddie Cantor went to do another show, they just took over. Said, hey, now it's called The Burns and Allen Show. Started in radio in 1932, went 18 seasons on radio to 1950. And they, of course, had a very successful television show and did movies together. And George Burns after Gracie passed away, had a big movie career. He was in Oh God, sure. And he was in The Sunshine Boys, right. And all kinds of stuff. So we are going to play now a Burns and Allen program from February 12th, 1948. It's called Babysitting for Kay Kaiser. It's sponsored by Maxwell House Coffee, always good to the last drop, Lisa. As heard on NBC, part one now of the Burns and Allen Show.
Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George.
Sure. Pour me a cup, Gracie.
You know, Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
And that drop's good, too.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With our special guest tonight, Kay Kaiser, yours truly, Toby Reed, Gail Gordon, Elliot Lewis, Jerry Hausner, Meredith Wilson, and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and Bill Goodwin.
For America's Thursday night comedy enjoyment, it's George and Gracie. And for America's everyday coffee drinking enjoyment, it's Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop.
As we join the Burnses today, we find Gracie seated at the soda fountain at the corner drugstore.
There you are, Mrs. Burns. A double banana split with six kinds of ice cream, hot fudge, marshmallow syrup, maraschino cherries, nuts, and whipped cream.
Thanks, Al.
Now, what would you like to drink with that?
Oh, better make it grape juice. I'm trying to lose weight.
Okay.
Say, Al, isn't that Kay Kaiser heading over this way?
Yeah, that's the old professor.
Oh, my goodness, he looks like he's in a trance.
Well, he's been that way ever since his new baby arrived. He has to take care of it, and it keeps him up all night.
Oh, the poor man.
Let me have a milkshake, Al.
What flavor, Mr. Kaiser?
Cod liver oil. I mean chocolate. And pass me the nipples. I mean the straws. Oh, hello, Gracie.
Hello, Kay.
I hope you'll excuse my appearance, Gracie. I'm really bushed.
Yeah, you do need a shave.
I mean, I'm tired.
Oh. Well, congratulations on your new baby, Kay. I'd love to see it. Brand new babies are so cute.
Yeah, they look like little wrinkled up old men.
Yes.
That reminds me, how's George?
How's your beautiful wife, Georgia?
Well, Georgia's doing fine, but walking the floor all night with little Carol Amanda is sure killing me. Gracie, you know where I can find a good baby nurse?
No. All the nurses I know are grown up.
No, I mean someone to take care of the baby. Especially tonight. The doctor says Georgia can get out for the first time, and my sponsors invited us to dinner, but there's nobody to stay with the baby.
Oh, I wish I could do it for you, Kay, but this is my club meeting night. And say, wait a minute. George will do it. He loves children.
He does?
Oh, sure, he's crazy about me.
Gracie, you've saved my life. I'm sure George will make a wonderful babysitter.
George, you know who I saw at the drugstore? Kay Kaiser.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He just had a new baby.
I know. Say, that reminds me, did you send the baby a present?
Yeah, I sent it a bottle of champagne.
Sent the baby a bottle of champagne?
Well, I heard they were going to christen it.
Gracie, that's not for christening babies. You would only send champagne to people who had a new boat.
Oh, George, how can you be so ignorant? People don't have boats.
What I was trying to say is...
Oh, now, wouldn't that sound silly? Mother and canoe doing well.
What I'm trying to say is...
How would it sound for a mother to call the doctor and say, come quick, Junior's got barnacles.
What I'm trying to say
really,
is
really, Judge, for a man with no education, you can be awfully dumb at times.
Drop the whole subject. Kay Kaiser can drink the champagne.
Oh, and he needs it, George. The poor man is a wreck.
Kay? How come?
Well, he's been taking care of that new baby, and it's really got him worn out. You'd hardly recognize him. You know how he used to look?
Yeah.
Well, now he looks even worse.
That's impossible.
You feel sorry for him, don't you, George?
You bet.
Well, good, because...
Boy, there's something I wouldn't do for $1 million.
What?
Take care of a baby.
You wouldn't?
No, sir.
But
not
George,
me.
George, taking care of a baby would be easy. You don't even have to wash them nowadays.
You don't have to wash them?
No, they have baby laundries.
Well, still wouldn't like to take care of a baby.
Oh, shame on you. Don't you have any mother instinct?
No. I was an incubator baby.
I don't believe it. Your father never been happy married to one of those.
Go away and let me read the paper.
Meredith, I called you over because I need your help.
There's trouble, Gracie?
Well, yes. George is going to be a mother tonight, but he doesn't know yet.
Gee, we better rush him to the hospital.
No, I mean, I promised Kay Kaiser that George would take care of his baby. But George has no mother instinct.
Perhaps I can stir that emotion in his bosom if I regale him with a tender story.
Oh, I knew I could count on you, Meredith. Come on, he's in the den.
Hello, George.
Hi, man.
George, would you like to hear the story of a baby I used to take care of back in my hometown of Mason City, Iowa?
Definitely no.
Well, sir,
why
that
do you
blue-eyed...
ask? Me?
That blue-eyed, golden-haired infant I wanted to tell you about, that infant and I spent many happy hours together playing patty cake, crawling around on the floor, or both of us riding piggyback.
How could you both ride piggyback?
We have very large pigs in Iowa.
Look, Meredith.
Well,
you...
sir, after I left Mason City, I often thought of that child, blossoming into blue-eyed, golden-haired womanhood. And I swore someday to return and make her my bride.
Oh, how sweet. Why didn't you do it?
There'd been a slight miscalculation. When I returned, the infant had blossomed into a blue-eyed, golden-haired fullback on the Iowa football team.
Is that all?
Yes, George. In my humble way, I've tried to show you the meaning of love.
Thanks. Now I've something to show you.
What is it?
The door.
Very attractive door. Oak, isn't it?
I want you to see it from the outside.
Well, if one side is oak, surely the other side must be.
Well, Meredith has got a point.
Yep, you ought to wear a hat to cover it. Goodbye, Meredith.
Goodbye, all.
Goodbye, all. What a schmo.
Well, he didn't change your mind about liking to take care of babies?
No. What's all this talk about taking care of babies, Oliver? Don't tell me he's back. Come in.
Hello, George.
Well, Kay, congratulations on that new baby. How's Georgia?
Georgia's fine. I just dropped by to thank you.
Thank me? Oh, over the champagne.
Well, not only that, but for what you're going to...
Tell us about your little girl. What school does she go to now?
School? Gracie, she's only 3 weeks old. She can't even crawl yet.
Oh, well, let her go on the bus.
She's still a little young, Gracie, but when she gets old enough, I'm going to send her to my old alma mater, the University of North Carolina, down in my home state.
Oh, well, I'm surprised to hear you're from North Carolina, Kay.
Why, Gracie?
Well, you don't talk like a man from the North. I thought you were from some southern state like South Dakota.
George, should I try to explain it?
You want to look like me?
No.
Then let it go.
Anyway, Gracie, I want my little girl to go to school in the greatest state in the Union, North Carolina.
Oh, look, here comes our Texas friend, Mr. Judson. I'll go fix some refreshments for her.
Okay, Gracie. Come in.
Howdy, little man.
Hello, Mr. Judson. Like you to meet our friend, Mr. K. Kaiser.
Happy to make your acquaintance, Mr. Kaiser.
Well, the pleasure is all mine, sir.
Say, you don't sound like a Californian.
I'm not. I'm a citizen of the greatest state in the Union.
Is that right?
Sure.
What part of Texas are you from?
I'm not from Texas. I'm from the tobacco state, North Carolina.
North what?
Carolina. Don't tell me you never heard of North Carolina.
I never heard of no part of Carolina.
Wonderful little trouble here.
Well, now, for your information, sir, there's a place down south where thousands and thousands of happy, industrious people live in an earthly paradise that stretches for hundreds of miles. And do you know what that place is?
If it was a little bigger, it could be Fort Worth.
George, will you tell him there really is a North Carolina?
Sure. Mr. Judson, Texas isn't the only southern state. There's North Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia.
Well, now, maybe there is a North Carolina, but I bet it don't amount to nothing.
Don't amount to nothing? Why, man, North Carolina turns out 1 million bales of cotton every year.
That ain't enough cotton to keep Dallas in dish rags.
Mr. Johnson, stop picking on Kay. The poor guy's worried enough now. He just had a baby.
You had a baby?
Well, I don't deserve all the credit. I had some help from Georgia.
I knew North Carolina couldn't handle it alone.
Well, listen, you
long-eared,
long-horned...
Mr. Judson.
Well, howdy, little lady.
Kay and Mr. Judson almost got into a brawl about Texas and North Carolina.
Oh, now, I was just joshing you. Now, to show there's no hard feelings, Mr. Kaiser, I'd like to send that new baby of yours a present.
Well, thank you.
Could she use a perambulator?
Oh, no, no, she's too young to make coffee.
She's too...
That is the first portion of the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show from February 12, 1948, babysitting for Kay Kaiser. And this was sponsored by Maxwell House Coffee, as heard on NBC. The great Gracie Allen on there with the legendary actor who played God in the movies with, what was his name? Who was the guy he was with in there? Was it, oh gosh, I'm trying to think, in the Oh God movies. Who was his name? Bob Denver? Oh, no, not Bob no. Denver. Something Denver. Oh gosh, I'm losing it. It's John not Denver. John Denver. John Denver.
John Denver.
Hey, way to go, Vince. Yeah. John Denver. Yeah, I was having like a senior moment, which is not hard for me because I'm a senior now. I have my AARP card.
Or you get tired.
I should know.
You can't remember.
I know.
It's okay.
All right, let's take a break and then we'll be back here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, we're back here, WGN Radio Theater. And we are here every Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. Monday morning playing classic radio shows, all of your favorites, including The Shadow and Inner Sanctum. My favorite is Boston Blackie. I know Mike Estella's favorite is Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. And Lisa loves My Favorite Husband because of Lucille Ball.
I am partial to the comedies.
Yeah.
Although late night, a good mystery is always
like the
really
mysteries
nice.
And detective shows. I listen to these shows at night. You know, I have a Bluetooth speaker in my bedroom, and I have all the shows
Carl,
on.
Carl, that's very
I do.
Advanced for
all,
you.
I am telling you, I can
it?
I can do it.
Yeah,
and
he
I
knows
have
how to use it.
I have
that's
my cool. I have either my iPad or my iPhone. Ay. And I play the classic radio shows through the Bluetooth speaker.
That's very advanced.
And it puts me right to sleep.
I bet it does.
Puts me right out. It's
of
even
course,
better
at this
than
age, anything. Puts
it's
you
even
to sleep.
Better than turkey.
Right.
Eating turkey with the tryptophan.
Definitely.
At this age,
oh, I got my walker.
Yeah, but I love listening to these shows at night. They soothe me. Right? They soothe my nerves from having to talk to you all day.
I have to tell you, we got a message from a listener just tonight who said he can't wait for the WGN Radio Theater so he can de-stress and relax after his day and just sit down and relax and listen to some classic radio.
Right.
So I
maybe
said,
have
you know
a
what?
Glass
Me
of
too.
Warm milk.
Well,
I do
didn't
that
suggest
sometimes.
That.
You know, if you want to fall asleep, you have a glass of warm milk and listen to a radio, classic radio show. Puts you right out.
Warm milk does not sound appetizing somehow.
All right.
But
well,
I'm good with the radio.
Or you can have tea martinis. You can have. You could do that too, Lisa, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Tea martinis. Hi, it's tea martinis.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Lisa does.
Yeah.
She's driving home. Yeah. Police officer pulls her over.
Great.
Breathalyzer. I only had tea martinis.
Okay. In all honesty, I forgot my wallet today. Uh-oh. I don't have my driver's license.
Chicago police.
So don't pull me over today.
Lisa
I'm
Wolf.
Like a felon.
Her license plate is.
No, don't. I don't have my license.
F257429.
Yeah, good one.
Pull her over. She doesn't have her license.
No, I know. I forgot it. I had to remember all the other things we needed today.
So all of these classic radio shows are yours to hear every Sunday night from 11 till 2 in the morning. And if you want to request a show, request it on our Facebook page. Just search for WGN Radio Theater on Facebook. And please, please like us when you do that. Okay?
Yes.
And we have a Twitter, right, Mike?
We do, at WGN Radio Theater.
Yeah, I don't want to, I don't know
it's
anything about
it. It's a good name for the show. I'm glad I thought of it.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Twitter. I hear it's something that the youngsters are into. Not
and
me.
And that's not you.
Not
you
me.
You know, Mike and I don't know that much about Twitter either, so we're going to learn this together.
I only use it for the show, actually.
Right. All right.
Okay. All right, and we are in the midst of tuning into the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show. It's called Babysitting for Kay Kaiser. And this is sponsored by Maxwell House Coffee, as heard on NBC. Let's go back to February 12, 1948, for the conclusion now of the Burns and Allen Show.
Hello? Hello, Georgia. This is Kay, honey. I'll be right home when I got some good news. We can go to dinner with the sponsor tonight. Yeah, George Burns is going to stay with the baby. George Burns. No, he won't frighten it. Yeah. Now, listen, you get yourself all pretty up, and we'll go to...
Say, Gracie, when Kay Kaiser left for home, he said he wanted to thank me for the favor I'm doing for him tonight.
Uh-oh.
What favor am I doing for him?
Favor?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah.
Doing?
Yeah.
For him?
Yeah, I'm doing him a favor.
Really? What is it?
That's what I asked you. Now, come on. What did you tell Kay I do?
Well, I guess I'll have to tell you. You see, he's got a radio program.
I know that.
It's sponsored by Colgate Palmolive Peter.
You mean Colgate Palm Olive Pete.
Now, I don't know him that well.
Let it go. What did you tell Kay I do?
Well, you see, Kay wants to make a good impression on his sponsor tonight. And that's where you come in.
Oh, I get it. He wants me to sing on his program.
Huh?
From time to time and every climb, blessings come from above.
George, look, that's not what Kay wants.
Oh, he wants me to swing it, huh? Boom, 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 down in the garden where the red rose grows. Oh,
George,
my
George,
beloved.
George,
so,
George,
oh,
George,
oh,
George,
oh,
George,
oh,
George, oh, George.
What do you want?
Well, you still don't understand what Kay wants.
Look, honey, with that orchestra of his, I'll give him anything he wants. He's got a fine group of musicians. Now, you run and press my tuxedo.
Well, I don't think you'll need your tuxedo.
Certainly I will. I'm gonna wear it tonight when I work for him.
Well, all right. But you better wear an apron over it.
Oh, go on and have it pressed. Well, Kay, here I am. All ready to go to work.
Oh, that's swell.
But, George, why the tuxedo?
For the job tonight. Makes me irresistible.
Yeah?
Sure. When I wear this, they drool over me.
Well, it's your tuxedo.
And now, Kay, about tonight. You better give me a few instructions. Do you want me to swing it?
Swing it?
Yeah, you know, rock it.
Oh, no, I wouldn't rock it too much. Just burp it.
Burp it? Does Sinatra do that?
Certainly. And I wish I had a nickel for everyone Crosby has burped.
I guess there are tricks in every trade.
Yeah, but tell me, George, do you mind doing this sort of thing?
Mind? I should say not. This is what I like to do. Okay, I'm tired of telling jokes on the radio. I want to make a change.
Well, brother, this is opportunity night.
Okay, it'll be a pleasure to do this for you. Believe me, you've got a mighty sweet little group.
Well, thanks, George. Maybe you'll have one someday.
I'd like to. Little group of about 8 or 10. Be quite a surprise to Gracie, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I guess it would.
And later on, I might increase it to 20 or 25.
You should live so long.
Naturally, I'd get permission from Petrillo first.
You would?
Sure. Didn't you have to get his permission?
No. Believe it or not, that's the one thing I didn't have to check with Petrillo.
What do you know?
Well, George, I hate to rush, but my wife and the sponsor are waiting at the Derby.
That's okay. I'm ready.
It sure is wonderful of you to stay with the baby.
Oh, I'm good.
What? Gracie said you'd do it, but I didn't believe it till you showed up.
Gracie said I'd stay with the
baby. Well, I'm late. So
but
long.
Kay,
I'm so long.
I'm all set to vocalize.
So is the baby. Good luck.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Ah, what a night. Nurse made the Kay Kaiser's baby. Maybe she would stop crying if she thought I was a father. Evening, folks. How are you all? Gets dance. Gets be happy. Yet shut up. Come in.
Hello, dear. I brought Bill Goodwin over to cheer you up.
Yeah, cheer up, George. You've been wanting a new automobile.
What do you mean?
Here's the latest model, Kaiser.
Nobody is going to steal that.
I just thought I'd tell a joke and cheer you up.
Well, you didn't do either one.
What a cute little baby. Oh, just think of the wonderful thrills life holds in store for her. Her first tooth.
Her first step.
Her first word.
Her first day at school.
Her first date.
Her first party dress.
And then the one great thrill that comes to every girl. That glorious moment she waits for. Dreams about
her first cup of Maxwell House coffee. You know, Maxwell House is the very best in coffee drinking pleasure, yet it costs but a fraction of a penny more per cup than the cheapest coffee you can buy. Hey, won't that be a thrill, baby?
I had in mind her wedding day. When she'd marry a wonderful man, one like I got. Won't that be a thrill, baby?
Wait a minute, what are you trying to do, discourage the kid? Oh, there, baby. You won't have to marry the bad old man.
The only drip in your life will be Maxwell House. You know, baby, with thousands of brands to choose from, more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world. Yeah. Well, that baby can't understand a word you're saying, so you can stop telling it about Maxwell House.
Look, George, aren't you staying with the baby so Kay Kaiser can make a hit with his sponsor?
Yeah.
So don't louse me up with mine. And you know, baby, Maxwell House comes to you roaster fresh two ways now. In the familiar blue vacuum tin, or in the new ultra vacuum glass jar. Isn't that wonderful? George, this is really a cute baby.
Well, if you think she's so cute, maybe you'd like to spend an evening with her.
Well, you bet I would. I'll be back later.
How soon?
About 18 years. So long.
Well, this is great. Even at that age, they cry for good ones.
Well, goodbye, dear. I'm off to the bridge club.
You're staying right here and help me take care of this baby.
But, George, you don't need me. Look, here's a list of instructions Kay left for you.
Well, let's see what it says. 8 o'clock, baby's feeding time. Be sure nipples, rubber bottle caps, and strainer are thoroughly boiled.
Oh, my goodness. How can she digest that stuff?
Gotta dunk it first to soften it.
You think Kay Kaiser could afford to buy a cow and give his baby milk?
Gracie, the baby does get milk. The formula's right here. It gets acidophilus milk.
Well, I think it should have cow milk. You never know what an acidophilus has been eating.
Well, I'll read some more of the instructions. Be sure to keep the baby well powdered.
Well, now, if that isn't ridiculous, who cares if the baby has a shiny nose? Isn't that what you say, baby?
Now, listen, this is great. Between you and the baby, I'll go crazy. I'm going to call a professional babysitting service and turn the job over to them. Come in.
Hello. I'm the sitter from the babysitting service.
Well, you're right here on time. Hey, I know you. You're the guy with that terrible temper who's always quitting his job.
Well, that's because those other jobs were too hard on me. When I was a mechanic, I had to work with my hands. When I was a delivery boy, I had to use my feet. Now I'm a babysitter.
Well, come in and get to work.
I'm so happy with this job.
Well, I'm happy for you. How much do you charge? Well,
the fee is a dollar, but I'd do it for nothing. It thrills me to think that the babies I sit with may be the famous citizens of tomorrow. Governors, congressmen.
Well, here's your dollar.
Someday I may walk up to one and say, Senator, I was with you the first time you ever opened your mouth and put your foot in it.
Take the dollar.
I'm so happy with this job. Look at that precious little cherub lying there. So sweet. So innocent. And those toys beside her crib. The little teddy bear, the toy drum.
I see the drum. Take the dollar.
I'm so happy with this job. Thrill it must be for you to come home at night and see that little toy drum on the floor. Wait a minute. If it's dark, you might not see the drum.
I'll make it $2.
You'll stumble over it. You'll lose your balance. You'll crash to the floor.
$10.
You'll break your leg. You'll fracture your arm. You might even break your neck.
I'll throw in my tuxedo.
And all because that baby left its gum on the floor. Well, they can't force me to sit with this demon in diapers who breaks people's necks. I'll quit this stinking job. All right, go. I'll get rid of this drum.
No.
I'll break it.
No.
I'll rip it.
No, you'll
I'll crush it.
You'll wake up.
I've saved your neck. Goodbye.
Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the ball breaks, the cradle will fall. Well, what do you know?
My singing put the baby to sleep.
Oh, I knew your voice would do it, darling. When you sing, even grown-ups have trouble staying awake.
Oh, thanks.
When you open your mouth to sing, it's like opening a bottle of chloroform.
Thanks again.
Well, folks, I'm back. Did you have any trouble with the baby?
Oh, not a bit, Kay. George sang it to sleep.
Really? Can George sing?
Can George sing? That's like asking if Cougar can fight.
Yeah, Kay, I was hoping to sing on your program.
Give him a sample, Sugar Throat. Show him how you sang the baby to sleep.
Okay.
Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop, when the wind blows.
George! Well,
hey, listen, boy, that key's good enough for me. Yes, sir. That key is good enough for me, boy. I'd like to sign you to a 5-year exclusive contract right now.
Oh, now, you see, George, and you thought I got you in trouble.
You mean it, Kay? An exclusive contract?
Yes, sir, George. From now on, you do all my babysitting.
Right.
Join us again next Thursday when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Bill Goodwin, Meredith Wilson and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Toby Reed. Until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's number one preferred brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop. The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show is written by Paul Henning and Keith Fowler. And now stay tuned in for Noah Webster Says.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
There you have it, the Burns and Allen Show. George Burns and Gracie Allen as star, and their guest, Kay Kaiser, Toby Reed doing the announcing as heard on NBC for Maxwell House Coffee. They were on the air a long, long time, made the transition to television when we're just as successful on TV, Lisa. That's how it worked back then. A lot of these shows made the transition to television. Some did great, and some didn't do so well.
Yeah, I know. This was a success story for sure.
You know, some of the stars were much bigger on television, like Milton Berle never really had that popular of a radio show. And then when he made the transition, he became Mr. Television. Yes. He was a very visual actor. And some of the actors didn't make the transition as well. There were certain, like Red Skelton, he had a radio show. He was very popular on radio. And then he moved to TV.
Yeah.
And he did great on television. But there were some characters, like on radio, he was the mean widow kid. So he played this little kid. He talked, I do it.
Right.
But on television, it was this grown man.
And it doesn't make sense.
You know, it didn't work.
Yeah.
But all of his other characters, Clem Cadiddlehopper and all the other ones worked fine. But that one did not work as well on television. So, you know, hey, one was an audio medium, one was a visual medium. So
they're very different.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is what we do here on Sunday nights. We play classic radio shows from 11 p.m. till 2 in the morning on Monday morning. And we have, it's time now for our Name That Movie, right?
Right.
Name That Movie. This is a 1951 adventure drama romance starring Humphrey Bogart.
Nature, Mr. Allnut, is what we are put in this world to rise above.
All right. If you know what movie that is, give us a call at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. What will they win, Lisa?
They'll win a Lightkeeper Pro.
All right. This is good for around Christmas time.
Yeah, it's your complete tool for repairing holiday light sets.
Right. People call me a tool.
You are
sometimes.
A tool.
Yeah. Call us 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this. Oh,
and
we
are back on the WGNRM Theater. We are playing Name That Movie. Let's play it again.
Nature, Mr. Allnut, is what we are putting this world to rise above.
We have Tom on the line from Niles. Hey, Tom.
How are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing extremely well.
Oh, good. Me too. So can you name that movie?
That's The African Queen.
It is The African Queen. And you know that Humphrey Bogart won his only Academy Award for Best Actor for The African Queen.
I know now.
See, there you go. And you are the winner of a Lightkeeper Pro. Do you know how that works?
I do not.
Oh, it sends a pulse to the light set. and it finds the bad bulb, and that's all you need for repairing your holiday light sets. It seems like a great thing, doesn't it?
What if you don't have any bad bulbs? Then what?
Yeah, there's always a bad bulb. There's always one bad bulb that messes it all up.
It was the naughty bulb.
That's right. But you've got plenty of bad bulbs, like a bad seed. And you can check it out, and you can look at the video at lightkeeperpro.com. But thanks a lot, Tom, for calling in, okay?
Thank you.
Take care.
Way to go, Tom. Thanks for listening. There is our theme song, Lisa Wolf.
I've heard it, you know, once or twice or so.
Well, this is show 34.
34.
Wow,
we've heard
34
it
weeks on
34
the air.
34 times 3.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Wow. Pretty good.
Thanks.
So that's 102 times.
102.
Ah, right off the top of my head there.
You're quick.
Right off the top of the old noggin.
You got a calculator right there.
No, I do not. Math was one of my favorite subjects. You know why?
Yes.
I had a crush on my math teacher.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm shocked.
Big time.
Was it a woman?
Was it a woman? Oh, my. You know, that's not very nice.
I was asking.
Yes, it was a woman.
Sure.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she was quite the looker, I'll tell you that. Yeah.
You're a looker.
I had her for geometry. I'm not going to say her name on the air just in
that's
case she's listening.
Idea.
Don't want to embarrass her. But I definitely had a, you know, it was like, you know, the song Hot for Teacher? I was.
You know,
was
there's
really...
been umpteen movies about that. I mean, you are not the only person who have ever had the hots
Dan,
for his teacher.
Dan, did you ever have a crush on one of your teachers?
You know, I can't really say that I ever did.
Really?
No.
That was the only one, though. Well, I think, there was a couple more, but that was the main one. Mike, how about you?
I had a really hot English teacher one time. I had a really hot Spanish teacher one time. I'm sure there's probably a couple more in there, but,
yeah.
You know.
So you, like, you know, thought about him and were like, wow, I'd like to date her if I was older, right?
Possibly.
Kind of thing. How about you, Lisa?
No, I was the teacher, Carl.
Right, you were the hot for teacher. No, but when you were in school, did you have any crush on any of your professors? Or anything like that?
No, I didn't.
No,
I didn't.
Innocent thing, you.
No, I really didn't. But I do remember playing little pranks and tricks on them.
Yeah?
Really?
Oh,
really.
That's not the same thing as what I was thinking of.
No, it's not.
You'd put a rubber mouse in their drawer or something like that?
No, I specifically remember, I'll tell you a really short story. It was a teacher, and I called him on the phone, and I changed my voice, and his pants were always too short. So I said, how come you always wear pants that are too short to school? I asked him. And he said, my legs are just too long.
Yeah.
And then I hung up, and I went, wah, ha, ha. I thought that was really funny.
What were you, nine? How old
were
you?
Oh, no, I was much older than that. I wish I could say yes to that.
Oh,
no, I don't
gosh.
Have any crushes that way.
Well, I had a very...
I've had crushes.
Had a very strong crush on my geometry teacher.
You're still feeling flush there.
She was something, let me tell you. Okay.
You're still smiling.
All right, I digress.
It. Yep.
Let's play our sponsors segment. Dum, 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 dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow. Now, this is a person I have a crush on currently.
This celebrity. The clue is she's beautiful.
Oh, my
gosh. Okay, and we can all agree on that, I think. Okay, this actress stars as Valentina in the upcoming action comedy Zoolander 2 with Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson, scheduled for release February 2016.
Okay, and here's a hint.
Besides that she's beautiful.
Oh, she's beautiful. Here's a hint. In 2008, she starred in a drama romance directed by Woody Allen called Vicky Cristina Barcelona. Take a listen.
I see you with someone else now, and I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm civil. What else do you want?
All right, there she is. That's her voice right there.
Yep.
Give us a call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Name that celebrity, and you will win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Name That Celebrity. Let's hear that movie clip again.
I see you with someone else now, and I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm civil. What else do you want?
And we have Bill on the line from Wheeling. Hey, Bill.
Hi there.
Hi there.
I believe that's Penelope Cruz.
That is Penelope Cruz. Do you agree with the consensus of the room that she's beautiful?
She certainly is.
She is, and she's talented. She's going to be in Zoolander, too, so we can look forward to
that. I would date her if she, you know, she wanted to date me. I'd date her.
Would you date her,
yeah.
Bill?
Yeah. What do you think, Dan? What do you think?
I asked Bill.
Would you date her? And
oh, yeah, you're really reaching with that one. Yeah.
I know.
Bill, hey Bill,
decision.
Would you date her? Would you date Penelope if she wanted to date you?
At the drop of a hat.
All right, very good answer, my friend. Very good answer.
Well, you are a winner, Bill. You have won a $25 Luminati's gift certificate. You can check them out, one of their 42 Chicagoland locations. Have a most delicious pizza on us, and you can share it because we
with
all...
With Penelope. Share that pizza with Penelope.
Or with me. Either way, same yeah. thing, me, Penelope. Some people get me confused with Penelope Cruz, so it's a little confusing every now and then. And you can go to Luminati's.com and have a great pizza with me or with Penelope. Either way.
Thanks so much.
Thanks
Bill.
A
lot. Take
Appreciate
care.
It. Okay, it's time for classic radio, good Western, time for Gunsmoke. And there was a lot of Westerns on radio, Lisa, like The Lone Ranger and Red Ryder and Roy Rogers and Gene Autry. Those were all kind of for kids. This was an adult Western. It was created by Norman McDonald and John Meston. It ran from 1952 to 1961. It was stories in and around Dodge City, Kansas, in the mid to late 1800s. And the main person on it was the Marshal. He was a U.S. Marshal, Matt Dillon, played by William Conrad. And he had a deputy, Chester Proudfoot, played by Parley Bear. And this was a very popular Western on radio. Moved to TV in 1955 and ran until 1974, so it was on television for a very long time with a completely different cast. It's time now for Gunsmoke from January 31st, 1953. It's called Cavalcade. Let's tune this in, part one now of Gunsmoke.
Enter the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved West with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Mr. Dillon, could I give you some more coffee?
Yeah, I guess so. How about you, Chester?
Yes, sir, I believe I will.
Why don't you just leave the coffee pot here on the table, Miss Keller?
Why, sure thing, Marshal. Well, I got some fresh eggs this morning, if you're interested. They were just brought in.
Well, good. Cook us up about a half a dozen of them, huh?
Have them for you right away, Mr. Dillon.
All right.
Fresh eggs, my. I'll swear if Delmonico's ain't getting to be about as fancy as some of them Kansas City restaurants.
Well, that's civilization, Chester. Progress. Another 5 years and Dodge City will be tamed, curried, and bridled.
Seeing's believing, Mr. Dillon.
Well, you'll see it. Both of us will see it. That is, if we live that long.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon, gentlemen. You, Mr.
Yeah?
Dillon, the marshal here?
Yes, that's right.
Well, I'm sorry to bother you at breakfast, Marshal. My name is Hunter. Ed Hunter.
Mr. Hunter?
I'm a deputy sheriff from Richmond, Virginia. Come in on the Santa Fe this morning.
I see. Well, why don't you pull up a chair, Mr. Hunter?
Thank you, sir.
Chester Proudfoot, Mr. Hunter.
Howdy do.
Howdy do.
So here's my first trip to the frontier. I find it a rather remarkable experience.
I can imagine. Won't you have some coffee?
No, thank you. Marshal, I'm here to arrest two men who are wanted in Virginia.
No?
Here are the warrants and the orders of extradition. I stopped off for them in Topeka.
Uh-huh. John Allison, Calvin Moore, both wanted for murder, huh? Hey, do you know these men, Mr. Hunter?
No, sir, I don't.
Well, the names aren't familiar to me. I never heard of them. Have you, Chester?
No, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Well, I have some information that may help. Not much on Allison, I'm afraid. He shot and killed a bank teller at Greenbrier last spring.
Oh?
He's about 30 years old, dark hair and mustache, medium build, an excellent horseman and a confirmed gambler.
Well, that's fine. That narrows it down to about two-thirds of the men in Dodge City.
Well, possibly I can do a bit better in regard to Calvin Moore, Mr. Dillon. Now, he came down to Richmond from the north and set up practice as a medical doctor. He was about 29 at the time. And he ambushed and shot young Roger Beauregard and then left town. That was 17 years ago. Beauregard's been trying to trace him ever since.
Well, I'm afraid that's a pretty long
time. Well, I have a picture of Moore, photograph.
Oh?
Of course, he was much younger than this.
Oh, sometimes there's still quite a resemblance, even after 70.
Something familiar about that picture, Mr. Dillon?
17 years. He must be somewhere past 45 now, huh? Hmm. Are you sure that these men are here in Dodge, Mr. Hunter?
Reasonably so. Is there something about that photograph that makes you...
Well, it's too blurred to tell much about it. Besides, he'd be 17 years older.
Yeah, that's true.
I tell you what, Mr. Hunter, suppose you leave the picture and the descriptions with me, and I'll check around town, and I'll keep in touch with you.
Thank you, sir. Oh, I wonder if you might suggest a good hotel.
Certainly. Why don't you try the Dodge House? It's a corner of Railroad Avenue at the end of the plaza, the East End. Tell the deacon I sent you.
Thank you again, Mr. Dillon. And I'll be grateful for any help you can give me in this matter.
Yeah, sure. So long. You want to see the photograph, Chester?
Yes, sir, I do. Well, Mr. Dillon, that is...
Yeah.
What are you going to do, Mr. Dillon?
I don't know, Chester. He's my friend. I never asked him anything about his life before he came here. Didn't seem to matter. But now the law says he's a murderer. I'm part of the law. So now it does matter.
Maybe it's not him.
No, it's him, all right, Chester. You saw it same as I did. It's Doc.
This is the first chance I've had this week to clean a few instruments properly. Gunshot wounds. Oh, Matt. I'll lay odds I'm the only doctor in the United States who makes 3/4 of his living off of gunshot wounds.
That's a rough country, Doc.
Yes, indeed it's a rough country.
Maybe you ought to have stayed back east.
Yeah, see, broken bones, babies, and gunshot wounds. Well, I wouldn't know the first thing about a good civilized case of gout anymore.
What part of the East did you come from, Doc?
See, I went to medical school in Boston. I studied consumption, colic, liver complaints. Never had a case of liver complaint in all the time I've been here, though.
No, I guess that kind of thing is more common down south, around Richmond, Virginia, for instance, huh?
Matt, stop beating around the bush. You've got something on your mind, and it's bothering you.
Look, Doc, a deputy sheriff from Virginia came in on the morning train. He's got a warrant for murder against a man named Calvin Moore. He's got a photograph of Moore taken 17 years ago. Would you like to look at it?
All things are taken from us and become portions and parcels of the dreadful past.
Are you Calvin Moore?
It wasn't murder, Matt. They said it was murder, of course. The Beauregards were an important family.
Would you like to tell me about it?
Oh, not much to tell, Matt. I had been in practice in Richmond about a year. There was a girl. Beautiful girl. With spirit and fire and that soft radiance that only Southern girls seem to have. And, me, that was so long ago.
I've been in the South myself, now.
Roger Beauregard and I were both courting this girl. He was a typical Virginia gentleman, hot-headed, used to having his own way. He started threatening me, warning me. And I laughed it off. Then one day I was coming back from a case, and I ran into Roger on a country road. He had a pair of dueling pistols, and he challenged me.
What? Well, that's not a crime, Doc. That's self-defense. It's not a crime here anyway.
Well, I tried to talk him out of it, but he was crazy mad. He shoved one of the pistols in my hand, and he pulled back on his horse, and he leveled his gun. I had no choice. We both fired. He missed. I didn't. Self-defense, yes, but there were no witnesses, and I was an outsider, a Yankee.
So you ran for it, is that it?
I ran for it. St. Louis, Virginia City, Montana Territory, the Panhandle, Wichita, Abilene, and Dodge. I changed my name to Charles Adams.
And the girl, Doc, what happened to her?
I waited for her in St. Louis. We were married there. 2 months later, she died of typhoid fever.
Hell, you never know. No matter how much you figure you understand somebody, you just quite never know.
I can't go back there, Matt. I've got no defense. I'd mean prison. I'd rot in prison. I won't go back, Matt.
Now, Doc, look, Hunter is here after two prisoners. I got no right to my own rules to go after one man and keep the other one covered. I always figured that the only kind of law that would work out here is an honest law.
What are you going to do?
Doc, I don't know.
You're late, Matt. I decided you weren't going to stop in tonight.
Is Chester around, Kim?
Yeah, over there by the faro table.
No.
Matt, what about this Virginian who's been hanging around for the last 2 days?
Oh, Hunter?
Yeah.
He's a deputy sheriff, got a couple of warrants to serve. Why?
Well, he's been asking questions. Some of the boys are getting a little skittish.
Now, there's no call for it as long as they're not named Allison or Moore.
Are you free now, Miss Kitty,
huh?
Or are you busy?
What's it look like?
Well, I figured maybe he was just killing time. Hiya, Marshal.
Bunko?
Bought you a drink, Kitty. It's over on the bar.
All right. Thanks. Matt, I'll be off in a couple of hours. Drop around.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
I understand you've got a rival lawman in town, Marshal.
There's a deputy here from Virginia, if that's what you mean.
I always figured you were the law here. Is he short in this town, Marshal? Say the word, we'll run him out.
I ever ask you for help, Bunko?
Well, no,
when a man's short in Dodge, I'll run him out.
No offense,
you
Marshal.
Keep your own cinch tight. Don't worry about anybody else, huh? I'll see you, Bunko.
I swear I never saw anybody such bad luck in all my life.
My gracious, he ought to swear off faro and stick the stud.
Oh, Chester.
Hmm? The old Jethro Keener. He just lost 3 weeks' pay. And Bunko Benson, sitting right there beside him, mind you, picked up $230.
So that's why he's feeling big. Come on, Chester, let's take a walk. Huh?
Yes, sir. 3 weeks' pay. Mercy, I never saw such luck.
What about Doc, Chester?
He turned in a couple hours ago. That's when I came on over here.
How's he acting?
About as usual. No signs of planning to run out, if that's what you mean, Mr. Dillon. One thing he's doing, though, that he's never done before, he's toting a gun.
Good evening, Marshal.
Hello, Mr. Hunter.
Since you didn't come to me, Mr. Dillon, I've come to you. I'm wondering what progress you've made.
Well, I'm still checking.
Any results at all, Marshal?
Well, I don't have much to go on, you know.
Now, Calvin Moore was a doctor by profession. He might still be practicing. I suggest we investigate the local doctors.
Well, that wouldn't take long. We've only got one, Doc Adams.
How long has he been here?
Oh, about 4 years.
How old a man is he?
Late 40s, I imagine. But he doesn't show much resemblance to that photograph you gave me.
Well, maybe you're too used to him to notice the resemblance.
Yeah, maybe.
I'd like to look him over myself, Marshal.
Well, he's pretty busy out on calls most of the time, and...
Not all the time.
No, not all the time. All right, Mr. Hunter, I'll bring him around.
All right, this is a really good episode of Gunsmoke. From 1953, Cavalcade, starring William Conrad. You're listening to the WGN Radio Theater. Let's take a quick break, then we'll be right back. All right, we're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. Thank you, Esmeralda. And it is 1:33 in the morning on Monday morning. Happy Monday, Lisa, Mike, and Dan. And happy Monday to all our listeners on WGN AM 720. We reach about 40 states here with this signal at night, Lisa, including parts of Canada. So hello, all of our listeners nearly coast to coast, playing classic radio shows for you every Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. Monday morning. We're tuning in to Gunsmoke. William Conrad, who had a long career in radio, he's probably on more radio shows than anybody else, and I'm not even kidding about that. William Conrad just worked and worked and worked. He had that distinct voice, very deep, like sort of like my voice, mm-hmm. you know, really right. deep like that. And very burly, voice. Very right. burly voice.
What goes, you know, with your physique?
Yeah, exactly. He was kind of burly all around. I mean, he was a big guy.
Like you.
And they wanted him. They did not want him to play Marshal Matt Dillon on television. He was really bummed out about that. He wanted the role on television, and none of the actors on the radio show got the roles on TV, although they were all given auditions, but none of them got roles. They completely recast the TV series. James Arness, of course, played him, and James Arness was Peter Graves' brother. People don't know that. Peter Graves from Mission Impossible.
Yeah, sure.
He and James Arness were brothers, and James Arness, initially, after William Conrad was given an audition and he did not get the role, they really wanted John Wayne for the role. They went after John Wayne and said, hey, we're going to do this really great Western series on television, and we really want you to play U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon. And he just said, you know, I'm just too busy doing movies. I don't want to be committed to a TV series, but I have a guy for you. I know a guy, and he's a big guy, and he'd be perfect for this. And he was in a couple of John Wayne movies, and they were friends, and he said, there's a guy named James Arness, and he's a big, tall, strapping man, and he would be perfect as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon. And they hired him yeah. based on his recommendation. And in fact, the first episode of Gunsmoke, John Wayne introduces the series and introduces James Arness as Marshal Matt Dillon. So there you go, Lisa.
Pays to have friends.
It does. All right, we're tuning this in. It's called Cavalcade. It stars William Conrad. It's from January 31st, 1953. The conclusion now of Gunsmoke.
That's funny, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, he should have answered by now. Well, we're wasting our time, Chester. He's gone.
Well, now, he might have got called out on the case.
Yeah, I know, but I don't...
Hey, what...
That was across the plaza, down toward the Dodge House. Come on, Chester.
Somebody sure is stirring up the smoke.
Yeah, it's across the street. Edge of the railroad yards, I think.
Is that you, Marshal?
Yeah. What happened, Mr. Hunter?
Somebody tried to kill me. I started into the hotel and they fired from the dock here. I fired back, but he got away.
You, get a good look at him?
Oh, no, I just saw the flashes.
Well, this is an easy town to get killed in, Mr. Hunter.
So it seems. About that doctor, Marshal, you didn't bring him around.
Well, he's out on call.
Think I want to meet him more than ever now.
What time is it, Chester?
2:15 a.m., Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
I sure hope we don't have to spend the whole night waiting here. I don't see how Doc puts up with the smell of all this medicine.
He's used to it, I guess.
Yeah. I suppose a man can get used to anything except dying. You think it could have been him that fired those shots, Mr. Dillon?
Chester.
Hmm?
There's somebody coming.
Doc.
Marshal.
Come on in, Bunko. The doc's not here, but he'll probably be... Oh, what happened to your arm?
I got thrown into a barbed wire fence.
Here, let's have a look at it, huh?
No. It's all right.
It's a gunshot wound.
All right. Hold it, both of you.
Well, is that the same gun you tried to kill Hunter with, Bunko?
Stay where you are, Marshal.
Yeah. Around 30 years old, dark hair, mustache, medium build, excellent horseman, confirmed gambler. Wanted from her. John Allison. Alias Bunko Benson. Am I right, Bunko?
He's not taking me back here. You stay where you are, Dillon.
Now, don't be a fool, Bunko. Put away the gun.
Stay back. I'm warning you.
Bunko, look!
All right, Chester, let's get him over to the jail.
Hold still now, Bunko. Just one more second. I'll have hold that bullet now, and then we'll just... now, add that one to your collection, Matt.
Well, I'll make Hunter a present of it. It wasn't bad shooting to be firing in the dark at a gun flash.
He'll never get me back to Virginia.
Now, hold still, Bunko. Don't expect a man to tie a bandage with your arm waving around like a mare's tail in fly time. Say, how'd you know he'd come to my office, Matt?
I didn't, Doc. We were waiting for you.
Oh, I see. There we are. No. That ought to stop the bleeding. And don't loosen it up, Eddie.
Don't.
And you'll live to hang yet.
Don't worry about my hanging, Doc. I'll outlive you.
Well, in view of the circumstances, I'd say the odds are about even. Well, Matt, shall we adjourn to the front office?
Yeah, come on, Doc. Lock the cell, will you, Chester?
Yes, sir.
Well, I turned in at 10 o'clock tonight. Got 1 hour of sleep. They called me over to Mrs. Behan's. She thought her baby was on the way. False alarm, of course, usually is the first time. And I got back and I came straight over here.
Doc, you were wearing a gun earlier today. What'd you do with it?
Oh, I put it back in the drawer where it belongs. I realized I was acting like a fool. Was that where you were waiting in my office? Somebody tried to kill Hunter, and you thought
Look, Doc, I've tried to think of some way out of this. A way out for both of us. I got one man under arrest back there now, and I can't rightly set myself up as a judge and free the other man. I'd even hoped you'd cut and run for it. You'd get away if you did, you know. Hunter doesn't know the country.
I've been running for 17 years, Matt, and it's still caught up with me. I'm too old to run any farther. What are you going to do?
I'm a lawman, Doc, right or wrong.
Well, then I guess I'm under arrest, huh?
No, I didn't say that. I just said that...
Is Doc Adams here? There you are, Doc.
Yes, what's the trouble?
The fellow over in the railroad yard's asleep on the track. He was drunk, I guess. They were switching cars. You better come, Doc. He's awful bad.
Mr. Dillon, that ought to be enough.
Good, Chester. You ready, Doc?
I'm ready as I ever be.
All right, let's go, then. He said near the loading pens. Down this way, I guess.
Yes, sir. It looks like some lights over there. People around.
Yeah. Marshal, is that you?
Yeah. Oh, Hunter. I thought you went to bed hours ago.
I'm a light sleeper, Mr. Dillon. I heard there's an accident over in the yards. Thought it might give me a chance to meet your local doctor.
Well, I guess you can meet him right now if you want to. Doc, this is Ed Hunter, Doc Adams.
How do you do, sir?
Mr. Hunter?
I got one of your prisoners locked up, Mr. Hunter, John Allison. known here as Bunko Benson.
Good.
I just found out he's the man who tried to kill you tonight. He caught one of your bullets in his arm.
Well, I see. Why, then it's one down and one to go. There's Calvin Moore. Dr. Calvin Moore.
This is no time to stand around making chin music. I'm sorry,
Hunter. That's quite all right, Marshal. I'll go with you.
Will you pardon us, please? All right, will you move back and let us through here, please? Here, Doc, this way.
Yeah, I'm right with you, Matt.
Please stand back now, will you? Give Doc a chance to work.
Yes, please, if you please, just stand back.
Bad is right.
Well, we'll do what we can. Come on.
That man who's hurt, Marshal, who is he?
Oh, just a drifter. Been around Dodge a couple of years. Calls himself Texas Joe. No friends or family. Nobody knows where he came from. It's the usual story.
Easy now, Tex. We'll have you fixed up here in just a couple of shakes.
Is that you, Doc?
That's right.
I told him, get you. Be all right if you got here.
Why, sure, it'll be all right. You just lie still now. And...
Yeah.
Certainly has to work under primitive conditions.
Doc? Mm. Yeah. Chester, will you get those lanterns going and give Doc some more light?
Yes, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, he's the only real doctor this side of Abilene.
Hey, Mr. Dillon, is there anything I can do to help?
I guess not, Miss Kelly. Thanks anyway.
Poor old Tex. Why, he stopped in the restaurant not more than 4 hours ago. I fixed him a meal.
Thank you. You never know.
Well, Doc can pull him through if anybody can.
Sure he can.
Yeah, put one of those lanterns on the other side there, Chester. Yes,
he does. You seem to have a lot of faith in this Dr. Adams.
They've got reason to, Mr. Hunter.
Matt, could you give me a hand here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure, Doc.
Lift his head up just a little bit there, Matt.
Yeah, all right.
Not much of a chance. All I can do is make him comfortable.
Marshal Dillon.
Now, don't try to talk, Texie. You're going to be all right.
You've been decent to me, Marshal. Just a bum, but you treated me square. You and Doc, only friends I got.
Sure, Tex.
I got one more favor to ask. Could someone read me some scripture?
Well, Tex, I just don't recall any of them.
I know some.
Mrs. Kelly, I doubt if you can hear.
I can hear. Please.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Mrs. Kelly.
He restoreth my soul.
Mrs. Kelly. I think that's enough.
Poor soul.
Well, you can't win them all, I guess.
No, you can't win them all, Doctor.
Well, I'm... Doctor, as the only physician here, I suppose you also function as coroner.
That's right. Yes.
This man will be buried under the name of Texas Joe.
Don't you worry about that.
Excuse me?
Boot Hill is full of men buried under nicknames. In this country, we...
Doc! Doc, I just came from... Oh...
What, Kitty?
Well, Doc, I've been sitting up with Mrs. B, and you left too soon. She needs you over there right away.
Well, then it wasn't a false alarm.
No.
All right, Kitty, I'll be there just as quick as I can, but... Well, as soon as I...
Kitty, you go on back over and do what you can for her, huh? Doc will be along.
Well, all right, Matt, but you'd better hurry.
Well, Mr. Hunter,
gentlemen, this seems to have been my lucky night. Both my fugitives located within an hour of each other.
I guess there's nothing I can do.
One of them safely in jail and one of them dead.
What?
Didn't you notice the resemblance, Marshal? That Texas Joe there, he's obviously the man in the photograph. I saw it immediately.
Well, Mr. Hunter,
I hope you'll take all the necessary steps to see that he's buried under his real name, Calvin Moore. His death, of course, closes the case, and I'll be leaving for Virginia with my other prisoner tomorrow.
Well, Mr. Hunter, I just don't know what to say.
Now, I'd say it's no time to stand around making chin music, Dr. Adams. You have a patient waiting, and this town seems to depend on you.
Well, of course, but...
You got work to do, Doc. And, Doc, make sure it's a boy.
Well, I'll do my darndest, Matt. Yeah. Well, good night, gentlemen.
Good night, Doc.
Good night, Doc.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Lou Krugman, Paul Dubov, and Vivi Janis. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Gunsmoke is heard by our troops overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Tomorrow evening, listen for Lionel Barrymore, your host on CBS Radio's Sunday Night Playhouse. There'll be another specially selected historical drama or a classic from literature with a cast of stars perfectly suited for the roles in the story. Every Sunday evening, hear Lionel Barrymore on your Sunday Night Playhouse over most of these same CBS radio stations. Truly an outstanding dramatic experience here at the Star's address. Roy Rowan speaking. And remember, for thrilling dramas of escape, listen every Sunday night to the CBS Radio Network.
And that's one of the best of the adult westerns, Gunsmoke, Have Gun Will Travel, Fort Laramie, Tales of the Texas Rangers. These are really the best ones. Gunsmoke with Cavalcade, starring William Conrad, January 31st, 1953. In the cast, Howard McNear, Georgia Ellis, Lawrence Dobkin, Lou Krugman, Parley Bear, Paul Dubov, and Vivi Janis is heard on CBS. Quite a cast. And they recorded Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke was not done live. Gunsmoke, in the very beginning they did, but they would come in like on a Sunday because I remember, I'm trying to think if it was William Conrad that I heard an interview with him or another one of the actors, and they would come in like on a Sunday and record two shows, and then they were off for a week. That's how they would do that. And then there was engineers put it together a little later. And that's the way it was back in the 1950s. Most of these radio shows were live. This was not. This was a transcribed series, they call it. Hope you enjoyed Gunsmoke here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. Lisa Wolf is here, and Mike Estella, and Dan Long. That's the team. That's our team here. Go team. Right? Hey, go team. Sarah. It's almost 2 o'clock in the morning.
It is.
Wow, that means it's time for Name That Movie. This is a 1996 action-adventure thriller starring Tom Cruise.
This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
All right, if you know what movie that is, give us a call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You'll win two tickets to see a really good Christmas play called Christmas Bingo.
Yep,
right?
Yep, playing at the Lila Arts Center.
All right, so give us a call, 312-981-7200. Name That Movie. We'll be right back.
We are back on the WGN Radio Theater playing Name That Movie. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
And that's all you get. We've got Clinton from Chicago. Hey, Clinton.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
Great. Now, that's a pretty telling clip. Can you name that movie for us?
You betcha. Mission Impossible.
Definitely. You know, I don't know about you. Maybe I'm older than you. I used to watch the original TV series. Are you too young for that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. And, you know, they took the theme song from the television series and they remade it for the movie by some YouTube members. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's more of like an electronic dance theme, an updated mix. You are a winner, Clinton. You get a pair of tickets to Christmas Bingo playing at the Lila Arts Center in Des Plaines on December 16th and 17th. And you can brush up on your Yuletide trivia in this interactive show. And you can get tickets online at LilaArtsCenter.com. That's L-E-E-L-A, ArtsCenter.com. We hope you love the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good. Enjoy it. Let us know what you think, okay?
You bet.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Clint. Appreciate it. All right, Lisa, this is a wrap. I think we just got a couple more minutes, and and that's it for this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. Now, next week, yes, did you want to say something?
I was just saying the good news is we will be back with some great stuff for next week, and we're going to tell you what it is. But
I couldn't read your mind.
I don't know why.
You have to say it. You have to talk it into the microphone.
I thought you could. Normally, you can.
If I could read your mind, girl. What my thoughts would tell.
You're close.
Okay. I'm hoping for a music singing contract. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping for a contract from some record producer out there.
Okay.
Make me a big singing star because, you know, that's my goal.
Singer?
I want to be a singer.
Excellent. Keep dreaming.
You should hear how good I sound in the shower.
Oh,
I can sing
don't need to.
With the acoustics in the shower, boy.
Wow.
Sounds a little like Elvis and Johnny Cash and Weird Al Yankovic.
This is not an image that I am enjoying. What about you, Mike?
All wrapped into one.
No, not really.
Not really, no.
I'm still thinking about the Mission Impossible thing, actually,
yeah.
Because I used to play...
I think we should play the theme. Do we have that theme? Oh, Dan's on
no,
the phone.
Dan's,
okay.
Dan's busy.
I played
okay. Don't bother Dan.
For several years, and that was one of the songs we actually had to play in band.
You know what I remember when I think of Tom Cruise?
Him jumping on the couch on the Oprah show. I know.
That's exactly what I remember. That's exactly what I remember.
Ingrained in my brain.
All right, next week we're going to start our Christmas programming. We're going to air Christmas shows from Christmases of past.
Right.
Sound good?
Past, present,
I don't know if
future.
I said that right or not. It's pretty late.